13:50 a.m. and online.
This is your Keeney's student radio station.
You are.
It's 6 p.m.
Your Y News Hour.
I'm George Lehner. Thanks for listening to tonight's Your Y News Hour. Coming up on tonight's show, the second annual PlusNet Yorkshire Marathon came to campus on Sunday. Your Y were broadcasting all day and captured the atmosphere and reactions of the crowd and runners. We assessed the impact of a marathon on students, the community and Yorkshire as a whole, alongside having some of the more notable highlights from the day. Also, £15 million has been spent on facility developments associated with York sport in the last 2 years. Since 2012, the Sport Village, Cycle Track, Velodrome and JLD have all been built, along with a track being updated and plans for the tent to have a major makeover. We speak to Head of Sport, Keith Morris, and put to him the concerns that some of these new developments are running behind schedule and not able to be used by students for many months despite being operational. And it's time to elect your course rep for the next year. UOY News editor Kat Suave has been finding out more about the role of a course rep and has been speaking to those involved with voting opening today. And only a few days to make your mark, students need to get online and vote. All that and more, including national and international news headlines. But anytime throughout the show, if you want to interact with us, you can do that quite easily. All you need to do is send us a message via the website, that's uoy.org.uk. You can give us a text 07851 101 313, or if you're on Twitter, give us a follow and tweet us at UOY News. But first, we're going to have a bit of news, and it's over to Kat with the latest headlines.
Live from the UOY newsroom at 6:02 p.m. A second healthcare worker who's tested positive for Ebola in Texas had been on the flight the day before she became ill. She'd helped look after a man from Liberia at a hospital in Dallas before he died from the virus. Health officials in the US are now trying to trace 132 passengers who were on their flight from Ohio to Texas. The Welfare Reform Minister has apologised for any offence he's caused after comments he made about disabled people. During a fringe meeting at the Tory party conference, Lord Freud suggested that some were not worth the minimum wage. Labour leader Ed Miliband's called for his resignation, and Claire Pelham, the chief executive of the charity Leonard Cheshire Disability, says the remarks are unacceptable. Police and wildlife experts armed with snare poles, nets and riot shields were relieved after being called to reports of an escaped crocodile, only to find out it was an inflatable toy. The alarm was raised at lunchtime by a mum from Plymouth who spotted a green reptile outside her kitchen window. Officers initially threw water from a safe distance before realising it wasn't real when it failed to move. In sport, the Marussia F1 team say they're shocked and angered by some media reports claiming Jules Bianchi did not slow down under caution flags at the Japanese Grand Prix. The French driver is in a critical but stable condition in hospital following a crash in the race at Suzuka 10 days ago, which left him with severe head injuries. Yesterday, Bianchi's father, Philippe, said his son's situation is desperate, but added he's sure Jules will not give up his fighting for life. And a quick look at the weather this evening and tonight. Cloudy with spells of rain spreading northeastwards, which could be heavy at times. Rain probably clearing most parts of Humberside by the end of the night, staying misty but mild with some fog patches. High in York of 11 degrees. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
It's coming up to 6:04. You're listening to the UOY News Hour with me, George Lane. Now, thousands of runners have pounded the streets of York and surrounding areas in the Yorkshire Marathon. Organisers of the event said 7,000 entrants had been expected to take part. The race was won by a 24-year-old from Kenya with a time of 2 hours 13 minutes and 59 seconds. The first female runner across the line was Shona Fletcher with a time of 2 hours 43:40, coming in 16th overall. UOY were broadcasting all day from event, and here is Kat with some highlights from the start of the day.
If you were anywhere near campus on Sunday, you would have noticed the second PlusNet Yorkshire Marathon taking place. Setting off from University Road, marathon runners took to the streets of York to complete the 26.2-mile race. Waved off by a start party that included former England Rugby Union international and star of BBC Question of Sport, Matt Dawson, the runners set off from the Heslington West campus, made their way past city centre landmarks, including the Minster, and then headed out to Stamford Bridge before returning to the university. The event again proved immensely popular, with all 7,000 places being snapped up within hours of going on sale earlier this year. Competitors ranged in age from 18 to 76, and 15 runners were celebrating their birthdays in quite a unique style. Fellow news reporter Josh Kerr and myself were at the start line for the beginning of the race and chatted to some of the runners ahead of their mammoth run.
Morning.
Hello.
So, are you looking forward to today?
Yeah.
You excited, nervous?
Just a bit of both.
What are you running for?
Just myself.
Just yourself, yeah. Okay. Just a fitness freak then?
Yeah. Well, I did Kilda last week, so...
Okay. Have you run the Yorkshire Marathon before?
No, it's first time I've run this one,
okay.
So...
Yeah.
Be different.
Yeah, foggy, cold. Yeah. Have fun out there.
I will, thank you. Cheers.
For many racers, the Yorkshire Marathon was their first try at racing the incredible distance. Of course, this is an incredibly daunting prospect 5 minutes before the race began.
So, are you looking forward to today? What's your feeling going into the race?
Yeah, a bit apprehensive, first ever marathon, but...
Oh, it's your first ever marathon?
First marathon.
And what are you running for?
Macmillan Cancer Support.
And have you been training hard, or...?
Training very hard, but an injury 3 weeks ago, not run since then, but still very hopeful.
Best of luck today.
Thank you very much.
For others, the Yorkshire Marathon wasn't the first in their lives, or even in the year.
Okay, so what's your name?
My name's Dave.
And how long have you been training for the Yorkshire Marathon?
Well, I've been training all year, on and off.
Okay, and are you excited for today's event?
No, nervous.
Nervous.
I'm excited. Looking forward to a free T-shirt at the end.
And what are you running for?
Martin House Children's Hospice. This is my second marathon this year.
What was your first marathon? Where was that?
In London.
And which one do you think you're preferring at this early stage of the game?
Well, I like Yorkshire. I'm from Yorkshire, so I'm going to stick to Yorkshire. Yeah.
Not even with the fog? No, it's not going to put you off?
No.
And have you run the Yorkshire Marathon before? Did you run it last year?
No, I didn't get it last year.
What was especially poignant about the Yorkshire Marathon was the immense amount of money runners were raising for their chosen charities. I talked to a group of Royal Mail workers who had this to say about the event.
What are your names?
Gary, okay. Billy,
Andrew.
Okay, and who are you running the marathon for today?
Candlelighters. The Children's Cancer Charity in Leeds.
Okay, and what time are you hoping to achieve today?
Sub five hours.
Yeah,
and have you done much training, or are you just keen?
A lot of rowing.
A lot of rowing. Is that to build up the endurance?
No, because I just hate running.
I did 70 miles last month.
Oh, wow.
Not
in the car.
Sorry, three of us are from Royal Mail, which I should say.
YDC.
Plug for Royal Mail. Yorkshire Distribution Centre.
Oh, brilliant. And is this your first marathon?
Yes.
Yeah.
First and only for this year.
First and last. My medal's going to have something written on it.
And have you raised much money for charity?
I think we're going to have about 2,500, I think.
2,500.
Royal Mail will match up to £2,000, is it?
Yeah. True. I think a lot more will come after the event as well.
And with that, the race began. It took around 10 minutes for every competitor to cross the start line, but luckily, the fog and mist did little to dampen the spirits of the competitors. The city's historic streets were alive with colour and noise as huge crowds cheered on the international field as it made its way through the heart of York and out into its surrounding country lanes and villages. From the start line, Josh Kerr had this to say.
So we've seen all the runners get underway now, every different colour of Lycra on show, as you can possibly imagine. Superman's been running, everyone's been high-fiving Matt Dawson as they get the race underway. A great turnout, and a real buzz at the start line as everyone got underway for their just over 26-mile run. Also, it's great to see people running for so many different good causes, as well as just for the marathon itself.
Following Yorkshire's hosting of the Tour de France and the clutch of medals won by the country's sportsmen and women at the Commonwealth Games, the 2014 marathon promised to cap a major sporting year for the region, and it didn't disappoint. We'll be hearing more from Josh Kerr a little later in the programme about how the marathon progressed, with interviews from the male, female and wheelchair race winners.
On air. Online.
York Uni's student radio station.
Radio news by students for students. The URY News Hour on University Radio York.
Thank you very much, Kat, for that package there. Now, one notable part of the day for me was speaking to some of the guests that we had in. Lots of people came around. Particularly, there were some BBC Look North presenters. And what is quite interesting about this, last year, I wanted to go off air at one point to try and take a picture of a guy called Harry Gratian. I thought it'd be quite interesting to play a little bit of a highlight from the day when we were talking about this story, and then it moves into something from later on in the day when we have quite a special surprise.
Listeners, and indeed fans of the marathon broadcast last year, may remember that George Lane was momentarily distracted by the presence of a certain celebrity when he was supposed to be doing coverage for us. I believe it was Harry Gratian from BBC Look North.
It was, and I can actually confirm, I have seen him, and I've been within touching distance, but decided not to today. Not just yet, anyway.
And we are covering the Yorkshire Plus Net Marathon, and I'm a very excited man, because in the studio, we are joined, basically, by BBC Look North. Good morning, Harry Gratian, first of all.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hello, Amy Garcia.
Good morning.
And finally, Keely Donovan.
Hello.
I'm so excited to be joined by all of you. Obviously, last year you were here, Keely. I'm not sure you remember, but...
I remember, yeah. I came in, we gave you a weather forecast. A little different to the one that I would have given for today. It's foggy out there.
So that was part of our basically fantastic day. We got Harry Gratian on, which is absolutely fantastic. But it wasn't just about that, was it, guys? We saw lots of people out on the track. We saw lots of real people doing the marathon. It wasn't just all about the big name celebrities.
Well, no, that was the best thing about going out and talking to people before the start of the race. So many people, like I said, running for different causes. Just brilliant.
And do you know what I found quite interesting with a marathon? And I saw it last year, I've seen it at other half marathons, things like that, is regardless of whether there's celebrities going along running, people aren't going up to them to say, oh, can I have your autograph? Can I have a picture? You're a celebrity, blah, blah, blah. I found a lot of them were very much saying, well done, good effort, fantastic job. They just wanted to high-five them. That's all they wanted to do. It wasn't... You weren't going up to celebrities just because of who they were, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, we found that with... I've forgotten his name.
That celebrity.
Howard Webb. Yes, exactly. People along the finish line were just cheering him on. There was no one that was sort of surrounding him and being like, oh, it's him from the World Cup final, you know. So that was really great and really encouraging from the people of York.
Well, the support was incredible throughout the whole day, even when it was cold and foggy.
Now, Peter, you weren't at the day itself.
No.
Living, obviously, in York as a student, did you have much involvement with the Yorkshire Marathon because you weren't there? Did you know much about it? Was it happening?
I was certainly aware of it. I had a memorable trip trying to walk across campus from where the buses were being diverted. It was about 1 o'clock, so there were people in foil jackets everywhere. And it was certainly busy. I think you would have noticed it, certainly on this side, that side of the lake where it was happening, over down towards the south, towards James College Way, it was less busy, but it was still packed for a Sunday. I think you'd notice anything.
Yeah, well, that's something we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show. Halfway through, we're going to have a look a bit more at the marathon, and we will be talking about, was it just a big disruption? Was it a fantastic event? What was the impact for students, as well as the local community and Yorkshire as a whole? We'll be talking about that, so if you've got any views about that, please do send us a message, ury.org.uk. We'll have Kat, Josh and Peter and myself talking about it in the next couple of minutes. But for what we will do now is we'll move on to our next story of the day. Now, over the last few years, the university has massively increased the amount of investment in its sporting facilities. The Vice-Chancellor, Cohen Lamberts, has said that in the next 10 years, he hopes to see York's sporting reputation as high as its academic reputation. This can only be done through spending money on facilities and coaching teams to a high level. So to investigate into the state of the current facility development, myself and your wise Peter Rogers looked into this further, and he joins me now in the studio.
Thank you, George. With £15 million spent on new sporting facilities in the last 2 years, there are lots of positives about York Sport's investment on campus. Recently, we've seen a new state-of-the-art velodrome opened at the York Sport Village on Hes East, while £2 million has been invested in a 500-seat athletics venue on the West Campus. However, both projects have hit complications. URY has learned that the velodrome is set to close over the winter months, meaning the first time many students will be able to enjoy the facility won't be until the spring. With the current weather being too wet and unsafe to use the track, although it is not closed for the season, it is effectively unavailable to be used. The athletics track, meanwhile, is suffering from delayed completion dates, the original date of September 2014 being pushed back to a vague autumn 2014. I went to have a look at the progress on the track yesterday with George.
I'm standing outside the sports centre today, looking at a very bleak scene, which appears to be the foundations of a track.
Now, you're joined with me, and it's quite interesting to have a look, Peter. This has been ongoing pretty much since the end of June, but it's really only recently that we've started to see developments and actual progress with this. What exactly can you see so far?
Well, we're starting to see the outline of a track here, starting the foundations are being put in place. There's rubble underneath where the lanes will be. Right in front of us, we've got the long jump track here, which... You can totally see where it's going to be.
The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned with is looking above me. It's a very grey sky. It's a little bit rainy. It's coming up, what is it now, the 14th of October we're here. And it's getting to that time of the year where it's getting a bit difficult weather. And you never know. Things like this, they do start small. I know when the JLD was put up, it looked as if it wasn't complete and when it was done within 2 weeks. But I don't know. Something about me just thinks this might be a little bit of a way off.
We haven't had a specific date for completion. And I can see a lot of soil in the middle of the track at the moment, I think. With always a lot of rain recently, so we could see delays because of mud and just it doesn't seem the ideal conditions really.
Now, autumn 2014, that is now the official date of it being opened up. When would you say, in your opinion, is the maximum sort of date it would be able to be to classify as being autumn?
I'm sure they could stretch it into December, but again, that looks a bit of a stretch this time, but we can't quite know how fast they're going to work, do we?
Although it's been on throughout the summer, there's been a few setbacks in terms of plans, in terms of the rate of work getting on, but there's been no indications by York Sport or the university that it is running behind, and it will be on track for autumn. But one interesting thing to note is the athletics group, the athletics club in York, they're hopefully going to be using this track in the new year. I wonder what sort of impact they're going to have if something like this is delayed.
Well, supposedly they've planned their whole training schedule, their pre-season this term, around having this track, and it's just not been able to work for them. Yeah, that could cause serious setbacks, especially getting into spring when the season actually starts for athletics.
Well, to investigate that and to ask a few more questions, we sent URY's news editor, Kat Suave, to speak to head of sport at York University, Keith Morris.
So how do you see the balance between ensuring that student clubs receive the newest facilities whilst also inspiring the people in the community to get involved as well?
What is widely unknown is that in a lot of universities across the country, the facilities are open to the community members. However, for whatever reason, some community members are completely spooked by coming onto campus. I've worked at a university before where professional sports people were spooked by coming onto a campus. And so you have this barrier of it's a campus and off-campus and on-campus and never the twain shall meet, whereas the facilities are open and are accessible. And there's 20 weeks of the year where the facilities are widely accessible and available to community members. With the sport village, with the whole packaging, the marketing, the imagery that is used is very much student and non-student. Our relationships with community groups and particularly community sports clubs is key. City of York Athletics Club will be based on campus. The students will train and be coached as part of that club, should they wish to do so, which I believe they do.
This summer we saw the Tour de France come to Yorkshire, and with that legacy and the proposal for an annual tour of Yorkshire, how does York Sport and the university plan to engage more with cycling?
The role of the Student Cycling Club and our university colleagues and our local clubs is to ensure that there's awareness of the opportunities that exist for cycling. It's basically providing taster sessions and breaking down any misperceptions of there's no opportunities for me, what can I do?
And whilst we're discussing cycling, it's come as quite a shock to students who we've talked to about the sort of miscommunication about the velodrome. Could we just sort of get an idea of what's happening there?
The velodrome is open and ready for use. The plan was that the velodrome would always be open for this autumn. The contractors who were originally given the job to build it did a fantastic job and actually built it ahead of time before the Tour de France has happened. You can go online, you can book a track taster session, you can book an affiliation, accreditation, whether it's summer or winter. If it's wet, it's not safe to go on because that's the nature of the track that we've had.
It's been announced that the tent, after many years in its current state, is changing and becoming something a bit more permanent. In this academic year, the tent will close for around 6 months. Can you talk us through the initial plans and what measures York Sport are putting in place to ensure that the disruption to sports clubs is kept to a minimum?
The new building will be levelled. the tent will be levelled, and then a new structure that will be put in place will be largely on the same footprint, hopefully with a bit more storage, with a much higher roof, having the right temperature in there, the right lighting, the flooring. Having the idea would be that we'd have three halls as we presently do, but potential for a court running left to right as you walk in now, mm-hmm. with potentially having a show court with seating, which would help with roses and kind of making like an arena feel. It is going to affect roses. There's no way. The discussion we had with sports union colleagues was, basically it would be down and we'd have nothing available for the start of term in 2015-16, mm-hmm. or we could not have it for roses, and the decision was taken kind of, we'll work around it with roses, but let's have it ready for the start of term. So that's how we've gone to minimise the disruption.
You talked earlier about the athletics track. Many students are wondering what the delay is with the building work. In the past, the track was advertised as going to be finished by the start of term, then the 1st of November, and now it's a very sort of broad finish date of autumn. Could you explain the hold up? And with the winter weather fast approaching, is there a chance that it could be delayed even until 2015?
To be honest, to give you the full details, I'll come and speak to you again in a couple of weeks' time, to be honest, because a meeting I should have been at today has just been postponed. The work obviously started in June. The actual track was going to be finished, in theory, this autumn, mm-hmm. with the 500-seater stadium and the kind of pavilion to go with it for the new year. As it stands at the minute, I can't honestly tell you when it'll be finished. As I say, I'm happy to talk to you in a couple of weeks' time if I know more. Is it likely there'll be a delay? If the weather stays as it is now moving forward, then you'd have to suggest so.
So finally, what is next for the University of York? What can we hope to see in the next maybe 5 years?
Hopefully more. I mean, it has been an exciting time. It's been phenomenal, to be honest, and there's such support to recognise the benefits of sport. Facility-wise, we'll continue to get what we've got in the pipelines upgraded and finished to the highest quality, and where there's opportunities presenting themselves, basically to grab those and make sure that they're accessible as we possibly can make them. I think we just need to get the message out that if you want to do something, we'll listen and try and provide for it.
Well, that was that there. Let's go back over to Peter.
Thanks, George. So despite these ongoing issues, it's clear that York Sport is dedicated to upgrading and enhancing the range of facilities on campus for the benefit of students and the wider community. A wider range of venues and ever-increasing level of coaching will stand York in good stead to become the sporting hub of Yorkshire. Further developments with the track, velodrome and any new projects will, of course, be covered on URY. Back to you, George.
URY. It's 6:22.
URY News Hour.
Well, it's quite hard to say it's 6:22. It's normally 6:30. You're listening to URY News Hour. We won't be going on until 7 today. Start of term, it's always a little bit short for news stories. But still to come on tonight's show, we're hearing more about the Plusnet Yorkshire Marathon that took over campus on Sunday. Josh Kerr was on the finishing line, and he has some interviews with some of the winners and some of the notable faces that also took part in the marathon. Plus, we'll be discussing the wider effects of a marathon and whether it impacted students in a negative way. Plus, Kat takes a look at the course rep elections, which are in full swing, and we will discuss how you can make a difference by voting people onto your department board of studies. But first, here again is the news headlines with Kat.
Live from the URY newsroom at 6:23, a second healthcare worker who's tested positive for Ebola in Texas had been on a flight the day before she became ill. She'd helped look after a man from Liberia at a hospital in Dallas before he died from the virus. Health officials in the US are now trying to trace 132 passengers who were on the flight from Ohio to Texas. The Welfare Reform Minister has apologised for any offence he's caused after comments he made about disabled people. During a fringe meeting at the Tory party conference, Lord Freud suggested that some were not worth the minimum wage. Labour leader Ed Miliband has called for his resignation, and Claire Pelham, the chief executive of the charity Leonard Cheshire Disability, says the remarks are unacceptable. Police and wildlife experts armed with snare poles, nets and riot shields were relieved after being called to reports of an escaped crocodile, only to find out it was an inflatable toy. The alarm was raised at lunchtime by a mum from Plymouth who spotted a green reptile outside her kitchen window. Officers initially threw water from a safe distance before realising it wasn't real when it failed to move.
In sport, the Marussia F1 team said they're shocked and angered by some media reports claiming Jules Bianchi did not slow down under caution flags at the Japanese Grand Prix. The French driver is in a critical but stable condition in hospital following a crash in the race at Suzuka 10 days ago, which left him with severe head injuries. Yesterday, Bianchi's father, Philippe, said his son's situation is desperate, but added he's sure Jules will not give up fighting for his life. And a quick look at the weather this evening and tonight. Cloudy with spells of rain spreading northeastwards, which could be heavy at times. Rain probably clearing from most parts of Humberside by the end of the night. Staying misty but mild with some fog patches, high in York of 11 degrees. That's the latest. I am Kat Suave.
The UOI News Hour with George Lane.
Coming up to 6:25. Now, preparations are already underway for the 2015 PlusNet Yorkshire Marathon after 7,000 amateur and professional runners took part on the challenge this year. The race began on time at the University of York despite thick fog, with TV presenter and former England rugby international Matt Dawson cheering on runners across the line. Now, I'm joined with Josh, who was on the finishing line all day. And Josh, firstly, how did you find the day on the finishing line?
Well, me and Kat were at the start line, of course, for the start of the race, and there was a real buzz there. But the atmosphere at the finishing line, it was different. It was a special feeling. Obviously, everyone's, you know, completed this great challenge, and it was just brilliant. A little bit emotional as well.
I was going to say, one interesting thing I found is that literally grown men were coming across the finishing line and bursting into tears. The people that you wouldn't think were going to cry, like, you'd probably see this when people have babies being born or when they get hugely emotional. But this honestly caused people to have those emotions. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, it is a great feat. I couldn't even begin to imagine what it'd be like to run that whole distance.
Now, talking of imagining that, we don't need to imagine it much because you've made us a little bit of a highlights package from your part of the day, and we're going to just listen to that now before continuing on with our marathon discussion.
It was a little over just 2 hours from the start of the race before competitors began to appear through the fog and cross the finish line. First to complete the 26.2 miles was Yorkshire's own Brett Crossley, the winner of the wheelchair race. Brett, from Leeds, was a world motorcycle racer until 2006 when he suffered a spinal cord injury. I began by asking him how he found the conditions for the race.
Really challenging because I didn't have the correct push rims that would give me more grip in the wet. I have ones that have like a treaded coating. This is just a smooth one that I've got at the moment. So as soon as it gets any water on it, with the gloves that I'm using, it just slips. So and I usually use like a tacky resin, and I've just got some of that on my chair, but I didn't have enough. And just a few miles in, I was running out, and it was just slipping, so it just became really, really difficult for the second half of the race. I had very little grip, unfortunately.
And was there a strategy for today's race, or just go for it?
Really, you go kind of as fast as you can for as long as you can, but I was just trying to not go too hard from the start. But when I looked at the course map, I knew that sort of later on in the race there was going to be some sharper turns, and trying to slow down in one of these racing chairs is difficult in the wet. There's not a lot of weight on the front wheel, so as soon as you brake, it will lock up. And I did have a near crash early on in the race. I was coming down a hill, I could see the police bike, and it was misty, so it was difficult to see. And he just suddenly turned to the left. I went, oh no, there's a corner here, and I just had to grip hold of my wheels, just really tried to slow my head to turn off the course. So after that, he was just like, right, well, we don't want to end up in a ditch, let's just get through it in one piece. That would be nice. And it just felt great just to be crossing the finish line, and it was like, ah.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, what was that feeling like as a Yorkshireman being first over the line today?
Fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and say just thanks so much for the crowd support. There was just so many people come out in the pretty lousy conditions, let's say. Yeah, just wonderful. Yeah, loved it.
Next over the line was Boniface Congin from Kenya, winning the men's event in an impressive time of just under 2 hours and 14 minutes. Kat Suave caught up with him after the race.
First of all, congratulations on an excellent race. How are you feeling at the moment?
I'm feeling good.
Good. And what is it like to be in Yorkshire? I imagine it's not too familiar around here.
This place is like cold, but it's good.
Yeah,
I like this place.
Were the conditions good for a marathon?
No.
Horrible. Really, really. Yeah. And how was the support around? Did they spur you on? Or?
Yeah, the support was good.
It wasn't long to wait before the men's race saw his first British finisher, Paul Martelletti, who placed just outside the top three. I asked him how he found the race.
Felt really good, actually. It's a good fast course. There's a lot of good support out there. And, yeah, no, it was really good.
And so as far as aiming for a time, what are you aiming for today?
Today I just wanted to really just to get under 2 hours 20, sort of have an easy-ish run. Not too easy, obviously, it's still a hard, very hard run, but just went with the pace, and it was slightly under 220 pace, and just feeling good, so just kept going.
And what was the strategy to get that?
Just even pace, really. Just try and hit 520 a mile the whole way. So we're pretty, started off a little bit slower, but then, picked it up a little bit, and just last few miles were a bit quicker to really get that little, extra bit under 220.
And what challenges have you got coming up as far as marathon racing goes?
So in 6 weeks' time, I've got the World 100K Championships. So that's what I'm sort of training for at the moment. So that's why this is it's a really hard training run for me. I haven't really eased down that much. Now for this week, I've probably got about 110 miles run this week, which most people don't do that much in a marathon.
The women's race saw a dramatic conclusion and was won by Shona Fletcher. Shona was over 5 minutes down on the leader as the race neared its end, but overcame the gap to triumph.
How hard was it to make up that deficit going into the closing stages?
Well, I don't know. I was coming up to the hill just before we ran into the university, and I saw her and I was like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then the hill, and I thought, oh, I've taken too much out of me. And then I just let it go down the bottom straight. So yeah.
And your time today, how does that compare to your previous best?
It's a minute PB from a London time, which I find is a hard course. So, I'm really, really chuffed.
Despite the cold and foggy weather, almost 7,000 people turned out for the event, many of them raising money for important causes. And even though fancy dress was limited, there were still those that dressed for the occasion.
I'm joined down here at the finish line with a man dressed as a fairy. What's your name?
It's Mike Wells.
And what are you running for today?
Beating bowel cancer.
And how was the run out there?
Brilliant. Crowds are amazing. Excellent. Even better than last year.
As well as individuals, there were also relay teams taking part, some containing famous faces.
I'm joined here at the finish line with retired world-class referee Howard Webb. How does this compare to running around for 90 minutes on a Saturday?
This is harder physically, but the support you get from the sidelines is different to what I used to get as a ref. It's amazing. The people of York have come out in numbers, and without them, I mean, I've only done the last 8 miles. I'm part of a relay. Danny Mills set us off for the first five. Suddenly I see him running past. I thought I'm going to run with him. So amazing effort, and Dean here as well. Awesome, awesome event, and thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll be here again next year, hopefully.
I'm joined down here by Danny Mills. How was the run out there?
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. My team helped me get round. Dean was absolutely magnificent. We were part of the relay team. I set off, passed the baton on to Anna Cockcroft, and I felt good, so I thought, you know what, I'll just do the half. I kept going. I picked Dean up about 13, 14 miles, did the next leg, and I just kept going. And he dragged me around the whole way, and it was amazing. Fans were fantastic. My team, we're incredible.
The guy's not trained. He needs to come in at a 3:18 marathon, which is just ridiculous. Such a fit guy, such a determined guy. Could have stopped at any point there. Hasn't. That's just sportsman.
Not guys.
Yes, you did just hear that right. Former England footballer Danny Mills, who set off as part of the relay team, went on to run the entire marathon. Also part of the relay was double Paralympian gold medal winner Hannah Cockcroft, and she spoke to head of news and sport George Lane shortly after the race.
So Hannah, I hear today you were meant to do the one leg, you've ended up doing two. What was all that about?
Yes, so I did the longest leg, 6 miles, and when I got to my changeover point, the guy I was changing over to was on the toilet, but no one knew that, so everyone thought he just wasn't there. So it was, go on Hannah, carry on, do the next leg. Luckily it was only 3 miles, so I had extra 15 minutes, but I'd psyched myself up for 6 miles. Never mind nine. I feel good now I've done it, though. You know, I've not even done half of what these guys have done, so I can't even think of how they're feeling right now.
And last year, obviously, you were involved as well. You did a leg of it. Do you think you'd ever consider doing a full marathon, or would that never be what you would want to do? Is it just doing the smaller legs? Is that the best option for you?
I would one day like to do the full marathon, but you know, right now I'm a sprinter. My events in Rio are sprinting, so trying to do a marathon would completely hinder my medal chances, really. But one day, you know, maybe when I've retired, I'd love to come back and do the full course. There's so much support out there. Everyone's just so happy to be here and just enjoying what's going on, and I'd love to be part of that. And even being part of a little bit of it is great, but I think the full thing would be amazing.
And you seem to be a great champion of the Yorkshire Marathon here, both years in its second year. What do you say to all the people who are crossing the line now? Very good times, very good commitment on what was quite a chilly day. What do you say to all these people who have completed the marathon?
I couldn't have more respect for those people. You know, everyone has done so amazingly well. Today it was challenging, the fog, the rain, it's freezing cold, and they've come out and they've done an incredible thing and raised thousands of pounds for charity, and you know, running in aid of Jane Tomlinson's appeal, and that is amazing for people to come out of their one beds and do that. So I love them all, and I love Yorkshire, and it just makes me so proud to be from here. Yeah,
it really was a great performance by all the runners involved, who each had their different reasons for running, and with such a show of courage made the Yorkshire Plus Net Marathon a truly special occasion.
The URY News Hour with George Lane.
Josh Kerr there with some highlights, some really good highlights actually, lots of people to talk to there.
Yeah, a lot of interesting sort of people about, as well as known names as well.
Now, before we go into our bit of discussion about the marathon, I got a little bit of a highlight. In the studio we have Harry Whittaker. He was basically doing the whole day's broadcast. And into the studio comes the Lord Mayor of York, along with a cabinet member, Sonia Crisp, who was basically kind of the person responsible for allowing it to happen. Not really organising it, but allowing it to happen from York. And we thought we'd ask Ian, the Lord Mayor of York, how he thought the day went, and just generally the atmosphere.
How are you finding the marathon, Ian?
Well, it's absolutely enjoyable. When they're passing the... See all the smiles when everybody's starting off this morning.
Sure.
And Matt Dawson did very well, yes, shouting at them. And it takes a sportsman to appreciate what they're going through and the training that they've gone through to get there.
Because, of course, it was Dickie Bird last year, I think I'm right in saying.
I think it was, yeah. But Dickie's like me. He was no intention of running. But it was so good. And the work that's gone into actually get to the finish, starting line, should sure. I say, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of relieved people when they finish during the course of the afternoon.
Now, the day itself has left a huge legacy. It's second year, so it's obviously popular if it's coming back for this next year. Do you think next year, do you think it's going to change anyway? Obviously more runners, but it's still going to be pretty much the same course. How do you think it could expand and become sort of running in the likes of the London Marathon and other big national marathons?
Well, I think what they need to do is publicise it a bit more. I know that, I mean, I live off campus, I'm a third year, and we just had no idea what was happening other than the fact that our buses weren't running, which caused a slight inconvenience. I think we need more coverage. I mean, here we only got 3 media passes, but it was the same for Radio York, for the TV as well. So yeah, just get it out there a bit more and expand runner-wise.
Yeah, no, I agree. Big it up more. And then as it becomes more established, you'll be able to attract perhaps more elite runners, only a handful really this time around, as well as celebrity runners taking part in the overall event.
Yeah, I think probably next step in the next couple of years, once the teething problems have gone and they've really established it, it will be going to television. And do you think, Peter, if it went onto television and it got that coverage, do you think it would definitely increase its sort of reputation and sort of prominence in the UK?
It can only grow, can't it? I mean, I'm sure television coverage would bring a bigger prize pot for the elite athletes, and that's certainly an attraction, I'm sure, for those professionals and for the amateur athletes wanting to get their face on TV. What better way to do it than also running for a good cause at the same time?
Though saying that as well, there is actually TV coverage of it. Not only was it on local news, but there's going to be a broadcast on Channel 4, I believe,
yeah,
on Sunday about it. So we just need live broadcast,
live broadcasting is probably the way forward. But moving on to sort of a different issue with a marathon, it's all well and good. We've got a fantastic legacy for Yorkshire. Tour de France 2014, brilliant. Yorkshire Marathon, everyone's saying Yorkshire's fantastic and everyone loves it and we're brilliant people up north. But in terms of this marathon, it did cause disruption. 2 days, the buses were off schedule, the roads around the university were closed, and with the lack of publicity for students, people weren't necessarily expecting it. So regardless of how fantastic it is, do you think there's any grounds to say that it's just too disruptive and maybe we should move it to another location in York?
Well, that is the headline for students, isn't it? The buses, the bus system between here and the centre of town. Once that's gone for students, that's when they get annoyed. I don't think it caused too much disruption. It was only, bear in mind, a morning, so sort of a 24-hour period once they're setting up around it. But from my experience, I know, being a fresher, that quite a few people were going home for the first time. And with the bus gone, they had to walk to the station sort of by themselves for the first time, not really know where they're going. And that, perhaps being so early in the term for new students, could be a concern.
And also, Kat, on the morning, we got a message through from Facebook to Alex Light, who was presenting with us, and it was from one of his people in the blocks he represents, just outside of a start race, saying, "What on earth is this rubbish? What is this music blasting out at 8 o'clock in the morning?" And it's true, when you're not expecting it, to have all that sort of footfall, all those people walking through your accommodation block outside your windows, it is a bit of a hassle.
Well, I think the uni could have done more to alert the students of what was going on. The university was a pivotal part of the marathon. It started and finished on University Road. So why the uni itself didn't sort of advertise that there would be disruptions, I'm not really sure.
Well, I think also similarly, advertising would have brought more uni students down to the start and finish line to watch it through.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people went, but I'm sure it would have been, you know, it's a nice thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, go and watch these people come across the finish line.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm sure next year, third year in a row, I'm sure we will have a bit more coverage and a bit more publicity from the university to students. And regardless of a disruption, it is only weekend. And I think that the perks of a Yorkshire Marathon coming to York and coming to university does definitely outweigh the disruptions that are caused by it. But UOI, hopefully, will be covering it in some way next year. So do stay tuned for the third year of coverage in 2015. Now on to our final story of the evening. As we usher in week three of term, it's gone very quickly, very, very quickly. But as we usher it in, you may have noticed pleas for votes to become course reps on social media. Course rep representation is a partnership between USU and the departments of the University of York to ensure that your academic experience throughout your time here runs as smoothly as possible. Up until now, let's start that again one more time. We're nearly at the end of the show now. Up now, we have UOI's Kat Suave finding out what the entire process involves and how you can make a difference.
Week three at the University of York brings us the course rep elections. But what exactly does that mean? Course reps are your voice in your department. As an elected representative for students on your course, they work with staff to make sure issues raised by students are addressed quickly and fully. An academic department is a community where staff and students have to work together, but you can't consult all of the students all of the time. So instead, students get to elect their course reps annually, and this representative attends meetings in the department, such as the Board of Studies, to provide a student view on the issues discussed. I caught up with Emily Spencer, a current third year history course rep, to find out exactly what it meant to hold this position. So please give us a brief outline of who you are and what you do.
Hello, my name is Emily and I am course rep for the history department.
How long have you been a course rep for history for?
I have been course rep now ever since first year, so first and second year, and I'm hoping to be elected again this year.
So you are definitely running again this year?
Oh, 100%.
And why have you chosen to do that in your third year? Is it not a lot of stress?
Yeah, it is a lot of stress, but it's such a rewarding experience and I really enjoy it, and you get to meet a lot of the department and a lot of the students, and it's just really, it's real fun.
And how does the voting for course reps work? Is it open now, or how do you do it?
Basically, you just go on usu.org.uk, I believe, and on there is links directing you to certain pages where you can vote for your individual course rep depending on your department.
Okay, brilliant. And as a course rep, what sort of issues do you deal with?
Well, mainly, there's no kind of, like, backdrop of major issues that I'm constantly working on, and, you know, that's never really been an issue, other than semesterization last year. Mainly, the kind of issues I deal with are day-to-day problems that arise. Like, mainly, I deal with people emailing me or talking to me saying, hey, there's this issue, can you address it? No problem. And then I deal with the relevant members of department for people. It's like, if people have issues, I do the legwork for them in order to get it resolved.
Oh, well, leading on nicely from that, have there been any major problems recently in your department or any departments that you know of which you have needed to get involved with?
Only big ones is when things that the main issue with the history department is stuff like the VLE and digitization. I've had to talk a lot with the department about like splitting up essential and secondary reading, which they don't really do much, and also getting articles and chapters uploaded online for easier access for students. That's the main big issue. I don't know if other departments have similar experiences, but that's the biggest issue we have to deal with.
And on the whole, is being a course rep a positive experience for you?
Yeah, it's been such an awesome experience. Got to meet the department, got to like have an insight on the running of the department. You get to understand students' individual experiences, which I personally enjoy hearing about. Yeah, it's a positive experience for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't run again, if I'm honest.
Yeah. And what advice would you give someone who wants to run for course rep? Like, how would they approach being a course rep?
I think the best advice I can give them is try and make yourself as accessible as possible. Like I said, there's no backdrop of loads of different issues. It's literally waiting or like looking for people and seeing if they have an issue, and then taking it to the department to try and make the student experience more as positive as you possibly can. That's how I view my role. So if you make yourself more accessible, then you get to hear about these issues sooner, and you can deal with them sooner, and therefore everyone is happy then.
Remember, voting opens today and closes at 12 noon on Wednesday the 22nd of October, so make sure you get voting.
The URY News Hour with George Lane.